Today we've got an important show for you on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and we're currently in a series going through Hebrews. We've covered a lot of ground, but now we're going to look at the final warning passage in Hebrews. We've got Dr. Ken Yates in the studio with us today to discuss this final warning passage. Let's go to today's discussion on Hebrews 12, 25 through 29, as they discuss this important passage.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're in the studio with Ken Yates, and we're finishing up this series on Hebrews. We're now at the final warning in the book, and that is found in Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 25. Let's see what the warning says. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So that's a fairly short warning, and it's a warning about hearing.
And unlike the others we've looked at, it doesn't end with a nice positive statement.
Right.
It ends with our God is a consuming fire.
And we've used this word in here a couple of times. It also forms an inclusio, because if you remember the first warning passage, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? As we've seen in the book of Hebrews, salvation refers to reigning with Christ. And notice here he says, how shall we escape? So this takes us back to the first warning passage that there are consequences for the way the believer lives his or her life. As we've said throughout this series, yes, we know that the Bible teaches that eternal life is a free gift. It cannot be lost. But the way we live is extremely important. We want to avoid the discipline of God, and we want to obtain the rewards. So this warning passage kind of closes the doctrinal section of the book, if you will, because it takes us back to the first one.
And the first time, speaking from earth, would be God, probably pre-incarnate Jesus, on Mount Sinai.
Yes.
As he's talking with Moses, and he's giving him the law, and he ultimately writes the law with his finger and then writes it again. And that was an earthly message.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Bob, because that's what he just got talking about, what happened at Sinai in this chapter, that there was fire and there was smoke, and but they listened, they had reverent awe of him, yes, and he spoke to of earth. How much more now that we are spoken to from heaven through the King?
It's an even more important that we listen to this message, and I assume what it means when it says speaking to us from heaven, we're not getting any more scripture. I think it's saying the author is now in the third heaven.
Absolutely. The one who has spoken to us. God's greatest prophet, whoever lived, is seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavens. And he's the one who has spoken.
And the word keeps coming to us through the preached word.
Yes. And
through our dreams, right?
And through our dreams. Well, if you're really spiritual.
And if you had pepperoni pizza the night
yeah,
before.
Exactly.
Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. So back then, in Moses' day on Sinai, shook the earth, right? But
right.
Now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. So Jesus is shaking heaven with his words, or what?
Well, I think we would probably all agree here that the word heaven, as we know in the New Testament, there's more than one heaven in the New Testament. I think this is a reference to the creation of a new heaven and new earth, what we would call the atmosphere, what we would call space. And the point is that one day there's coming, as he's about to say in these verses, an unshakable kingdom. And as we look at the book of Hebrews, what the message here is, do not place your hope and your treasures on this earth, but replace it on the kingdom that is coming, the world that is coming.
I remember I came to faith in 1972 at kind of the height of the Jesus movement. We called ourselves Jesus people and everything. If someone wanted to borrow your car, they'd always say, well, it's all going to burn anyway, brother. It's all going to burn. They were getting this idea that, look, the things of earth are temporary. The things to come are eternal.
Yes. And again, for a group of believers who are being persecuted for their faith, and as we saw in chapter 10, they've lost their possessions. Many of them have. They've been thrown in prison, these kind of things. This is a wonderful promise that this earth is temporary. And remember, in chapter 1, when it talked about Christ receiving his kingdom, he says he's going to roll up this creation like an old garment. So we see how he's tying in what he has said earlier in the first few chapters, not only the first warning, but also what he said about the Lord in chapter 1 as well.
Verse 27. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So that kind of supports, I think that supports what you said, Ken. If in verse 26 this heaven is going to be shaken, then that indicates that this is it's not the third heaven. It's one of the other heavens, the created heavens that are going to pass away.
Yes. And there is a kingdom that is unshakable. So, for example, when we remember the Lord's admonition to us in the Sermon on the Mount to lay up treasures in heaven where they can't be destroyed, the author of Hebrews has that same concept in mind, that the faithfulness that we show to the Lord is laying up treasures in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so we see this theme throughout this warning passage.
I like that explanation, because verse 27, when you just read it, Sean, it sounds kind of bizarre.
Right.
I mean, there's lots of expressions in it that seem a little bit hard to understand, but when you put it all together, that the eternal state, Revelation 21 and 22, is an unshakable kingdom, and of course you see that in Daniel too. It's a kingdom made without hands and cut without hands, and it's eternal. Well, when you see that, then 27 opens right up. Makes sense.
Yeah, and I think something that Sean talked about in an earlier episode about sometimes it's hard for us to relate to these people because we're not persecuted. You know, we haven't had our homes seized and our businesses seized because of our faith. But it is hard, even in the environment that we live, sometimes to remain faithful to the Lord, because when everything is going well and we live in a prosperous nation, it's easy to focus upon this world. Stock market's booming. You know, how's my 401k? And so this teaching here is a reminder and an exhortation for those of us living today that this is really not where we should find our security, because this world is going to be shaken, but it's going to be replaced by a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so whatever age we live in, these words are very appropriate.
Absolutely.
Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I just cannot imagine being in a church or being part of a theological tradition that has no room for this idea of rewards in the kingdom or for literal kingdom coming. No wonder they ignore books like Hebrews, because it just doesn't make sense to their theology. It's so important to just take God at his word. There is a kingdom coming, a real kingdom, an unshakable kingdom that's going to last forever. And it's not pretend. It's not just imaginary. It's going to be a real thing.
I remember talking to Zane Hodges when I was very young, and I thought that rewards was only on a few pages in the New Testament, which would be enough to show that it's true. But I think you kind of had the attitude, at least I did, well, since it's only mentioned once or twice, you know, it's not really that big a deal. And he made the comment that, no, it's pretty much on every page. And that's true. And I think you're right, Sean. We're not going to understand the New Testament until we understand this. We're certainly not going to understand the book of Hebrews. And as we said from the very beginning, if you come to the book of Hebrews thinking he's only looking at whether are you really saved, are you really going to heaven, if that's the way we see this book, we're going to completely misunderstand it.
Well, am I getting it right or wrong here? It seems to me that verse 28, even though it doesn't specifically say anything about inheriting the kingdom or being Christ's metakoi, it seems like that's behind this. That, in other words, that's the platform behind it, because he says, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It sounds like he's calling them to be partners of Christ even in verse 28.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And again, we remember when we remember the first warning passage that this is an inclusio with, it talks about the salvation. If we neglect so great a salvation, so if we're tying these things together, that's certainly what the author has in mind, that we serve the Lord with reverence and fear. We need to listen to the one who has spoken to us from heaven and do the things that he says, or we're going to suffer the consequences of it.
So why does he say, given that we're going to get this unshakable kingdom, let us have grace? What kind of grace is he talking about there, and why is that important?
Well, if I'm going to remain consistent, I think the grace here is the grace that we receive from the Lord as our high priest, that we go to him and we receive the grace and mercy and strength that we need as we serve the Lord. Again, as we've said a number of times throughout this series, we make a decision of whether we're going to remain faithful to him, but we do it by his grace and strength and mercy.
Well, now I have a question. The last verse is, "For our God is a consuming fire." Now, it seems like this at least relates to Mount Sinai, right, which we've just talked about in the previous discussion. But it seems like it's more than that. What's he saying with "our God is a consuming fire" as he ends this fifth and final warning?
Well, that's a good question. I would say, in keeping with what he said before, that we need to listen to him with fear and reverence, because if we don't, he's going to discipline us. There's consequences. But again, as we've seen, and this has nothing to do with our eternal salvation from hell, but he's one that we need to listen to. He's given us all the grace that we need in Christ. We have everything we need, but we still need to listen to what he has to say.
What I think of is it 2 Peter, where the elements are consumed, they burn away.
3:10-12, yeah.
Right, to make place for the new unshakable eternal state that's coming.
Right.
But it's also, yeah, the discipline is there too. Ken, there's just so much to think about. Thank you so much for leading us and walking us through Hebrews. If you want to know more about Hebrews, please pick up a copy of Ken Yates' book, Hebrews Partners with Christ, available at our website or on Amazon.com. And be sure to tune in as we finish this series on Hebrews.
Thanks to Bob, Ken, and Sean for that great discussion, which comes as both a stark warning, but also a comfort. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we're going to take a look at Hebrews 13:1-6. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.